residency in health behavior and health education at the University of North Carolina. He is a student at the Gilling School of Global Public Health there, and his dissertation research investigates social stressors among immigrant Latino MSM and the range of coping behaviors with special attention to alcohol consumption. Paul.
Thank you, Scott. This morning, I'm going to try and break down this complicated and long, awkward title. Essentially, what I want to talk to you about is an investigation that I did into the psychometric performance of a new scale to measure social support, specifically a confirmatory factor analysis of the Index of Sojourner Social Support. It sounds very quant-heavy and methodological, but I'm going to break it down into a sort of interesting format. I should also start off by saying that this is preliminary work for my dissertation, and I have no financial disclosures or conflicts of interest to report. I want to start this morning by telling you a little bit of background about social support, why it's important, and some of the complexities involved. Simply put, we know that social support is good for health, and we have a large body of literature that shows that it reduces risk of disease, improves recovery and resilience, and reduces mortality. Cardiovascular disease is actually a great example. There's been a lot of work done on it. In my particular population of interest, Latino MSM, there's been much less research, but we do know that social support is associated with decreases in risky sexual behavior, and among those who are HIV positive, increased medication adherence and increased disclosure of HIV status to folks. Now, this body of evidence, like I said, is very large, but it's mostly observational data. So we have clearly established associations, but we really don't understand the mechanisms that underlie this. So how does social support actually produce this pattern of outcomes that we see? There's been a number of different hypotheses suggested, and one of the most frequently cited, and probably one of the more popular ones, is the stress buffering hypothesis. And this holds that social support is protective because it either decreases exposure to stressors or increases available coping responses, thereby mitigating any harmful effects of stressors. We also know that social support and these relationships are very nuanced, and it may depend on the context or maybe moderated by third variables. Gender is a good example of that. So while there's this broad pattern of beneficial effects, it doesn't always hold stable. So we should look at specific contexts, situations, people involved. And out of the last several decades, we've had a lot of developments here, and we've got probably a good two dozen different measures available at hand right now to measure social support in different situations, contexts, population, people, and so on. But one of the areas that we do have good agreement on and widespread acceptance is this typology of social support. And this was first proposed by House in 1974, I believe. And you can see here we have four domains. The labels are in bold, followed by examples of each domain or sort of how you would operationalize that type of support. And this is widely accepted. Not everybody who investigates social support is able to investigate each of these dimensions, but it's widely accepted. I'm going to add a fifth category, sojourner support, and I'm still deciding whether this is a context for support or an additional dimension or perhaps both, maybe something cross-cutting. Sojourner is a term that first appeared in the psychology literature in the late 60s and early 70s, and it refers to somebody who is living, working, operating outside their country of origin, outside their culture of origin. And in this particular case, sojourner support refers to the specific social support relevant to somebody living outside their country and culture of origin. And I believe that this is important for my study population, immigrant Latino MSM, because they are marginalized on at least three dimensions: their immigration status, their ethnic minorities, and their sexual minorities. So I presume that social support is going to be especially salient for them. So let me tell you a little bit about this new instrument. This was first published in 2005, and it's an 18-item scale designed to measure two dimensions of social support, social-emotional and instrumental. And you see the citation in very small type at the bottom of the slide here. But Ong and Ward went through a really good, very solid, very rigorous development process. And if anybody is looking for an example of scale development or measures development, I think this is a great resource. It was developed among English-speaking foreigners residing in Singapore. They also validated it both in a separate population in Singapore and in New Zealand. And it's been used in a number of different Sojourner contexts since then, mostly in counseling psychology. It hasn't really been picked up in public health, but it's been used for German businessmen working outside of Germany, foreign students at Irish universities, foreign business people working in Russia, and Korean women residing in Canada and the U.S. One of the things that I noticed in looking at this is that there have been a lot of reports, not a lot, all the reports so far, the handful, have shown really high internal consistency reliability. So they've reported their Chromebox Alpha. But nobody has done a deeper investigation of how the scale performs and whether this two-factor structure, the social-emotional support and instrumental support, actually holds up. So that's what I wanted to do with my investigation. Here are a couple of example items. You see question one, which taps into the emotional support domain, and question 14, the instrumental support domain. And the scale presents 18 statements relevant to support in a foreign context, and respondents rate the availability of support to them on a 5-point scale here. And this is actually the diagram that Ong and Ward came up with in their 2005 publication, showing these two dimensions of social support, each measured with 19 indicators. I'm going to come back to this diagram in just a bit, but let me tell you a bit about the data set that I used. The parent study for my analysis actually was a study of risk behaviors among immigrant Latino MSM in North Carolina. These were mostly rural men, mostly new arrivals or newish arrivals, average about 6 years in North Carolina. We had 190 men participate in the parent study. Because these men are what we consider a hidden or hard-to-reach population, we used respondent-driven sampling. And I should qualify that by saying they are only hard to reach from the outsider's perspective, so from my perspective. But in order to get them into our study, we used respondent-driven sampling. All our data were collected in face-to-face interviews with a male native Spanish speaker. We chose that format for two reasons. It reduces any sort of literacy demands or even vision demand that we would have had with a paper and pencil questionnaire or even an ACASI type assessment. And it also appeals to the cultural value of personalismo or the importance of personal connections in collecting information. And then for my analyses, I used a weighted least squares estimation algorithm to take account of the ordinal data and used FIML in M+ to perform my analyses. This allowed me to impute any missing values because I do recognize I had a fairly small sample. Luckily, we never had more than 2% missing data for any item. So returning to Ong and Ward's model here, the first step in a confirmatory factor analysis is to try to fit my data to the pre-specified model to see if I can replicate that. And immediately I ran into a problem. We see these two latent factors, which in the original model were allowed to correlate, and that's natural because these are two dimensions of the same underlying construct, two dimensions of social support. But I found that these were correlated at 0.97, which is unacceptable. What this told me is that there is no meaningful distinction between emotional support and instrumental support in my data. So I scrapped that, had to revise the model, and I collapsed it into a single factor model where I have generalized social support, and I'm presuming that this is social support. I don't know what this is yet, but I know that there's just one latent construct that these indicators are tapping, again with these 18 indicators. Reran the model, and I ran into some more problems. When I look at my model fit statistics, I have a real mixed bag. The first two indicators here, the CFI and TLI, show really good fit. They look really good. But when I look at the chi-square and weighted root mean residual statistics, these are pretty poor. And it's not uncommon to have a mixed set of indicators. There isn't any one index of scale performance. And in fact, this is kind of where the art enters the science of scale development. You have to make some judgment calls. But on balance, this is not performing very well. And it could be because I found 13 pairs of indicators that were correlated at 0.99 or greater. So this is problematic because it shows that these are redundant measures. And for example, items 1 and 2 are correlated here. So whatever information I get through item 1, there's no additional useful information obtained through item 2. So, third iteration of this. My third model, I simplified it further. I deleted 7 items that were involved in these problematic correlations. Again, the single factor, 11-item scale now. Reran it, and I found that my fit statistics improved, although it's still a bit of a mixed bag. The CFI, TLI were essentially unchanged, still very good. The chi-square got much better. I think it's probably because I have a reduced set of indicators, so I'm estimating fewer parameters. You can see the degrees of freedom drop from 135 to 44. Weighted root mean residual is better. It's still not good, but I would say that this is acceptable fit. And to show you a few of the details here, this is the list of the 11 items, and you can see the wording for each and the factor loadings. One of the really striking things I found is that we have really high lambdas here, really high factor loadings. So this means that these items are strongly driven by whatever this latent factor is. They're really tapping into whatever this latent factor is. These are very high. Usually we're happy if we get anything above 0.6. And some criteria call for retaining factors that load at 0.4 or higher. So these are much, much higher. I also looked at inter-item correlations, and these, again, were very high. You would expect at least some inter-item correlation if they're all being driven by the same underlying factor. But these are fairly strong. There are 4 that are above 0.9, but I don't consider them problematic. They're high, but they're not problematic yet. So in conclusion, I found that there was no support for this two-factor structure in my data. But I do believe that the ISSS is a very good measure of some latent factor, which I'm going to presume that it's generalized social support. And this reduced 11-item set had a very good performance. The Cronbach's alpha was 0.97, which actually is comparable to what people were reporting in some of these other uses of the scale without going into such detail about the factor structure or any other examination of the performance. So I do have to consider some alternate explanations here, and there may have been some problems that we weren't able to address. The first is that we were administering this in Spanish, and the instrument was developed in English. And although we took great care with our translation, and in fact we used a committee translation process, and this was part of a larger CBPR group, there is a possibility that our translation was inaccurate, incorrect, or there was conceptual non-equivalence with the items. There's also a chance that these indicators are not relevant for the population that we use them in. For example, there was one item that asked something about do you feel loved and cared for. That may not be an appropriate indicator for Latino men. Alternately, there may be some cultural difficulty here. The distinction between these two dimensions of social support may be less relevant in Latino culture than, say, in Asian culture. And as I said, this scale was developed in Singapore among English speakers, where there may be a greater distinction between emotional support and instrumental support, but perhaps not in my sample. And then some of our results may actually have been affected by our sampling strategy. Every man who participated in the study was already connected to at least one other person in order to get into the study. So that one other person could be a source of social support, thereby inflating our factor loadings and inter-item correlations. And I should also say, I don't have it listed here, a sample size of 190 is pretty small to do any sort of factor analysis. So any of my estimates here may not be very stable. It could change if you get a larger sample. But I also want to talk about the implications of these findings for the instrument and just for this notion of social support in general. I'm really intrigued by the notion of sojourner support, and I think it's potentially very useful, and I would really advocate that we look into this for its use in public health. As I said earlier, it really hasn't been picked up much in public health, but given our large and rapidly growing immigrant population in the U.S., I think this is potentially very useful. It's definitely a methodological innovation. There is currently no other measure of social support for a sojourner population. I do think we need to do some work before we're ready to use it. We need to establish what dimensions of sojourner support are relevant in the U.S. context, if we're going to use it, but also in any sort of context where we use this instrument. One of the things that I think we do need to pay attention to is this whole notion of validity, and to be cognizant that validity does not travel with the instrument, that validity only exists in the data that we have. And a lot of times people will talk about using a validated instrument, and that's erroneous. It's established, it's been validated in other populations or other data, but just because Ong and Ward did it doesn't mean it's validated in my population. So I think we need to take a step back and investigate, well, this is across the board for all the instruments that we use, the performance, the characteristics, and to establish the validity. Some of the things that we might want to do are looking at more discriminant and convergent validity, especially with some of the established measures of perceived or received social support that have been around for a couple of decades now. And then finally, we need to look more carefully at the ISS in particular and establish what's the relationship between this scale scores and health outcomes. So I just want to end by acknowledging and thanking the men who participated in the parent study. And I've given you details on the funding for this study and my contact information if you have any further questions for me. Thank you.